When you heard this read before from the Evangelical Heritage Version, there were some smiles at, watch this. There are words in the Old Testament and the New Testament that repeat so often that English translators get tired of them. Hine in the Hebrew, idu in the Greek, and they just basically stop translating them. They maybe think it's like punctuation or something. It's the Holy Spirit's big spotlight about something really important that's happening. So we want to try to get some variety in the way we translate in English, and watch this really fits here. So take a situation from real life, or maybe not. Let's say you went home with the family last night. Pull up to the house, everybody goes inside. And a brother or sister waits outside. Spotlight. Somebody's missing. You call out, what are you doing out there? Get in here. I don't know if I belong. Maybe this isn't my house. It's our house, your house. Get in here. Not so realistic. It's what people do in church. It's what people do with the family of God. It's the fear that would naturally come up for someone in a service like this, thinking, what if I'm not one of the saints triumphant someday? Because my life sure doesn't feel that way now. Even this prophecy from Isaiah. We got to explain the viewpoint of the prophet here. It's so easy to feel like you're on the outside looking in. Do I belong? Does God want me here? God doesn't wait for our feelings to catch up with our faith. Feelings can lie. God cannot lie. He is filled with truth. He tells us that instead of watching the mass of humanity be lost forever, He came looking for you, the lost sheep that the shepherd puts on his shoulders and brings home. Or the lost coin we heard about last week where the woman sweeps the house and finally finds it. Or the other one from Luke chapter 15. Why does Jesus tell this story? It's because you and I are there. The son who runs away. And then he wants to go back home again after a very immoral life. Will my father accept me? Can you imagine walking up the road with him and feeling the same way? And you're looking there at the kind-hearted face of a compassionate father who's been watching the road for your return. And I'm right there with you. Absolutely amazed at the open arms of God that would wrap me up too and say, this is where you belong. I put my name on you in your baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, sweep those doubts out the door. Rise in newness of life. Enjoy the Father's description of what's happening now and where we're all headed. Across the pages of history, the holy prophet Isaiah shouts, watch this! It's God speaking through him. Watch this, family of God. I don't know, do you flash back to the kids in the pool when you hear that? Watch this. It's so much more fun, you know, doing cannonballs and belly flops in the pool if you have people watching. So I can imagine the kids here, you know, watch this. Everybody's got to see it. You're excited. You can take your best cannonball or belly flop and the thrill of everybody watching that times a million. You're not even close to how God feels when he says, watch this. See what I'm doing. Watch this because God celebrates his family. He wants us to see it. because it's more than cannonballs and all of that. Watch this. I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. You don't like where we are right now? It's getting pretty messed up, isn't it? You see the pictures, the garbage in the ocean, fish dying. You try to alleviate some of that, it's just disgusting. Cancer all over the place and the chemicals, how do you avoid it? It's a polluted planet. Is man to blame? Yeah, ultimately, because it was the fall into sin that brought this about, but it's not going to be man that fixes it. Watch this, God says. I'll create it new. A new heavens and a new earth. So how can you feel as if your father doesn't love you? What if your father came and said, I'm building us a new house. You get your own room and your own bathroom. That's not rejection. Watch this. The former things will not be remembered. They will not come to mind. So let's forget everything bad before and just enjoy the time together forever. You can't see the love of God for you in that? Watch this. Instead, rejoice and celebrate forever because of what I am creating. Watch this. I'm about to create not just a house. We got the New Jerusalem here, the city of God, to be a source of gladness, and her people will be a source of joy. Have you ever seen a city where there's nothing but joy and gladness that comes out of it? We think of cities as, even the ancient words for cities, you know what they meant actually? The ancient word for Hebrew, the city is actually a noisy place. And if you had to ever live in the country, or you got to live in the country and then you have to come to the city, oh, I feel sorry for people that have to drive on these roads with this kind of traffic when some of you have had that experience. That's frightening. But you get used to it. Maybe you don't even hear the noise that much anymore. But imagine a city where everything flows out of it as a source of joy and gladness. I also will be glad because of Jerusalem. This is what we so often miss. We keep thinking it's all about our joy, and it's not. You can take your best day times a million, and you're not even close to how God feels about you. We thank God for the saints triumphant, and the saints triumphant are thanking God for you. Because God says, I will rejoice over my people. The sound of weeping will not be heard in her again, nor will the sound of crying. All that's gone. It's a different day, a former time. And this is our day. The day with God in heaven that never ends, where the sun never sets, because there is no sun. There are no stars. We heard that from Revelation. It's the Lamb who gives the light to God's throne in heaven. No more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. Over the river and through the woods to God's great house we go. It looks like one grand mansion there through the blinding, drifting snow. Over the river and through the woods, there's something you need to know. The porch comes first while we're here in church, struggling here below. Isaiah's view. It's important to see this. When the prophets are talking about future events, it's a prophetic vision that God gives them. It's inspired the way the Holy Spirit wants it. But we're looking back on some events and forward to that which is yet to come. And the prophet is seeing all of this as if you were going through the blinding, drifting snow to that mansion on the other side of the fields, and you just see it as one mansion. But you don't realize there's a porch or a courtyard that leans into that mansion. That's where we are now. We're on the porch. We're in the courtyard. This is the church militant, the church at war. Heard about it in Bible class, not against flesh and blood. It's against all the forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's against Satan and the demons and all who side with him against God. This is the porch. So when Isaiah says, there will never again be an infant there who lives for only a few days, or an elderly man who does not fill out all his days. For one who dies at 100 will be considered a young man, and one who fails to attain the age of 100 will be regarded as cursed. But that's not heaven. No. That's the porch. That's the courtyard. That's where we are now. And yet God delights in his family. And he says, watch this. God celebrates his family. He wants it so bad that he comes to live on that porch with us for a while, to suffer the sadness, the heartache, the death that washed away your sins and mine, and every doubt and fear, everything that could keep us out of God's heaven, with the precious blood of God's own Son washed clean. Don't fall into that trap where sometimes this can be despair and depression. Sometimes it is me thinking that my sin is so bad that even God's Son could not forgive me. Oh no. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Question is, are you repentant? Can you give it up? Give it up to God who died to wash your sin away and give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your baptism. Can you come inside? Or will you stand out there in the cold and complain about God? What more could God do? God said that through the prophets. What more could I do for my people? Come inside, he says. Watch this, family of God, because you are also blessed in building. In ancient times, they were always worried about marauders coming, raiding your house and your land. Those Europeans, for 300 years, you know what their prayer was? We still see it in the old liturgies. Lord, deliver us from the Norsemen, otherwise known as Vikings. I don't think they ever prayed a prayer like that about Packers, just saying. No, the Vikings. Just dreadful. Until the Lord, in his mercy, heard those prayers and basically married them into the population of Europe and made Christians out of them. Ended the problem. Always hears the prayers. But there have just been these times on the porch, in the church militant, where it's so frustrating as a Christian, because today, too, there are governments lined up against anything that's Christian, anything that's godly. And sometimes we feel that way about what goes on in our own community and government. But not there. Never again. They will build houses and live in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build a house and have another person live in it, or plant a vineyard, someone else eat the crop. It says the days of my people will be like the days of a tree. Do you ever get to look at a tree with a forester? Count the rings back to 1941 when the dam was put in. You can actually see before the dam went in that there were periods of 7 years when there were big growth rings and droughts in between. There were cycles. And once the dam went in, big rings, lots of water. But you can count it. And it seems to go on forever, the bigger a tree. And the years of my people will be like that, going on forever. And always in the prosperity of those who are my chosen ones, they will enjoy the work of their hands. The Lord said, and we read that before, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from this time forth, even forevermore. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor and their deeds will follow them. I don't totally understand that. But it is God's promise. And it is God's heaven. And somehow, as God's people and saints militant today, he is promising you that your time is not wasted. Your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15 says the same thing. Be strong, therefore, brothers. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And to the Hebrews, the Lord said, these Jewish Christians, you know, suffering persecution, the Lord said through his apostle, his writer there, God is not unjust. He will not forget the work that you are doing for God's people and what you continue to do. You do it in thanks, but God doesn't forget. And he promises rewards of grace, inheritance, pure mercy. We don't earn it. We don't keep track of it, but he promises it. And that's really enough to know, isn't it? It's God's promise that we are in Christ, the chosen ones, who will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor only to receive nothing, and they will not give birth to children doomed to disaster. For they will be offspring who are blessed by the Lord, and their descendants will be with them. Offspring requires God's divine design for marriage. And descendants requires God's divine design for those who keep teaching their children and grandchildren the wonderful works of God. It's Psalm 78. It's what drives our Sunday school, our Lutheran schools, your family devotions. We have to teach the next generation, and the Lord says there will be descendants. There will be children who will rise up and praise the Lord. Imagine the shock if a van pulled up in front of your house, what your neighborhood would think if it, you know, said sweepstakes on the side of the van. You almost hope that never happens. You really don't want that kind of publicity. Well, then again, I don't know how you feel. But take your million times millions, and it's nothing compared to what God is promising in the land where nobody can take it away. It's not going to go more than half to taxes. It's not going to make all the people want to come and say, give me, give me, give me, because you have so much, 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 and I need more, more, more. It doesn't make you a target of the IRS who says, now we're going to go back and look at all the ways you cheated on your taxes before, because now you have the money to pay us. Just imagine. Not in God's heaven. Not in saints triumphant. Not in that place beyond where God lets us be building in blessedness. For over 30 years, this congregation and community has been enjoying something that they will probably never see or care about, for that matter. In the summer of 1986, morning, noon, and night, I was building my desk just before we moved up here. I came to a point where I had to make raised panels. If you don't know what those are, it doesn't matter for the story. But I had to cut them on a table saw. It was a dangerous cut. I didn't know how to set things up. I walked across my basement shop to the bookshelf as I'm praying. I pulled a book off the shelf of only a few books and opened it up. There was the whole setup. I don't even remember what book that was. Why in the world are you telling us that story? Who cares? God cares. Why? Because he's not like us. We get so bound up in our own little lives that we only care about what matters to us and things that go past and gone like that. Who cares? More and more, our society, our culture just encourages us to just care about me, me, me. And God cares about you, you, you. But our problem by nature is, well, it's just across the page in the EHV, if you have it open to this text. In verse 12 of Isaiah 65, this is what we are by nature, and God is speaking. God says, I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You committed evil in my eyes, and you chose that which does not please me. By nature, we don't care what God thinks and feels about it either. Because more and more, our society says it's all about how you feel It's all about what you want. It's all about what makes you happy. And that's it. And God says, you didn't even care what I said about what was pleasing to me and what I called perversion. So what's God's solution? The prophets do this over and over again. They bring you up to the fire where you just about feel like your feet are going to be in it. And then God's solution is in the end of our text. He says, then even before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. We don't care about God, but he cares about us. We get all wrapped up in our little sinful, selfish life, and God says, wait a minute. In my great love for you, I will send my son to wash away all your sin and give you the righteousness that only I can provide, because you have to be holy to get into heaven. Just listen. Just believe. Just trust. Because before you call, I'm going to answer. Is it all that important about how you set up your table saw? Yeah, to you and to God. Do you know he says that he knows exactly how many hairs are on your head? I know some guys will say, that's not a big deal. But you can't even count the little follicles and those little tiny ones that people can't see anymore. And God knows the exact number, and he always has. If he cares about that, he cares about every little thing that happens in your life and mine too. What a sweet and gracious God we have. But am I sure? Do I belong? Can I get in? There's a man one time that had probably the most rude awakening you can imagine. He's a jailer, and he got tired of hearing the singing of those crazy prisoners in there. He beat them bloody and now they're singing. Imagine falling asleep and an earthquake wakes you up and all the prison doors are open. You're a Roman soldier. There's only one penalty. You lose one prisoner. It's over. He takes out his sword to kill himself, and he hears a shout from inside one of the cells, don't harm yourself. We're all here. On your knees in that cell. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved in your household. God wants a family. He wants your family. It's not what you do. It's what you believe, and more importantly, it's who you believe in, the object of your faith. He says, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And I don't know if this is literal or not. They argue about this. Are there animals in heaven? The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and lions will eat straw like cattle, but the serpent will eat dust as its food. It is possible that on the last day, all animals alive will be translated, as it says in Romans 8:21, into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Or else God is using terms that we understand to describe something that's so far beyond our ability to comprehend. But we do know this. Peace there in the mansion beyond the porch. They will not harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain, says the Lord. Home at last, beyond the porch, in the mansion of God's heaven. What more could God do to prove his love for you and me than to let us hear this word of God today? Unless maybe it was last Sunday and the Sunday before when Christ gave us his body and blood so that he could be with us. Or maybe it's back years for many of us when he put his name on you in the word-powered water in baptism. He's not done. You wander, he's coming after you. You start to fall into sin, this shepherd will not give up. But he does want your cooperation. He does want your repentant faith. He does want your head on your pillow at night to say once again, God, forgive me for the sins of another day. And then to sleep like a baby in the arms of your heavenly Father. And to get up in the morning with the slate clean once again, because his mercies are new every morning. And every day is another adventure with God, who just keeps repeating himself. Watch this, family of God. Soon, soon, the promised rest. Praise Jesus. Amen.